You're listening to Idaho Matters. I'm Gemma Gaudette. December is here and the temperatures are beginning to drop all around our area. And as more people are experiencing homelessness, that means that so many more folks are living on the streets or they're living in their cars. Joining us today to talk more about why this is happening and what can be done are Jeanette Curtis, Director of Outreach Programs at CATCH, and Casey McGee, Outreach Program Specialist with CATCH. Thank you both for coming on the program.
It's a pleasure to be here, Gemma.
Thanks for having us.
Jeanette, can we start with you? Can we talk a little bit about how and why we are seeing more people experiencing homelessness?
That's a complex question, Gemma. We all know that we're seeing a growing homelessness population in the last couple of years. I mean, certainly over the last couple of decades, if you're a person who's lived in the Boise area for a while. And there are a lot of reasons for that. But the bottom line, it comes down to poverty and it comes down to affordable housing. And we've all seen what's happened in the housing market over the last couple of years. People are just getting priced out. And without a whole lot of resources or services in place, for some of those people end up in a housing crisis that looks a lot like homelessness. Some of the people that we meet are staying in cars or RVs or shelters are sometimes finding other places to stay, either in a hotel or doubled up with friends. But it's still homelessness and it's still a housing crisis that we encounter.
Hey, Casey, is the face of homelessness changing? And what I mean by that is I think, you know, there used to be this idea that most homeless people, frankly, were men. Right? Down on their luck. Maybe they had some type of substance abuse problem. But I mean, when you put the pandemic in there, and as Jeanette mentioned, being priced out of the market, it's not necessarily how we've stereotypically thought of our homeless community.
Right. Yeah. Statistically, there are more men who are homeless than women, but with the housing crisis, we're seeing just a lot of different types of folks who are on the streets. A lot of younger people who, might not have the work experience to make a high enough wage to afford rents around here. There's just a lot of situations where people that we don't typically see are showing up.
And Jeanette, I mean, I know that there's probably no easy answer for this, but as within our community, what is your organization finding out about why people are choosing to either live on the street or choosing to live in their car, let's say, opposed to going to a shelter or something like that?
Well, I would start out, Gemma, by just acknowledging that our emergency shelter systems, the Boise Rescue Mission, Interfaith Sanctuary, and the Women's and Children's Alliance are amazing, amazing resources in this community as far as providing shelter for folks at a night-by-night crisis level. We need more emergency beds and we need expanded facilities for sure. But there are legitimate reasons why people in our community choose not to stay in one of those shelter systems. And sometimes they are not allowed for various reasons. Sometimes there are barriers to entry, like needing an ID or folks with a warrant couldn't stay in a shelter. In one of our shelter systems, it's divided by gender. So men are in one and women and children are in another. So a single father, for instance, would have a really difficult time entering that shelter. I think there are also personal reasons for people not to stay in the shelter system. Health and mental health are two of those reasons that people... the shelter systems, the way they are now, can be a little bit scary for someone entering into the homeless services system. They can be chaotic, maybe not the best place for someone who's actively struggling with a mental health issue. There are sometimes, unfortunately, bed bug or lice infestations. So there's some legitimate reasons. I think another reason that we encounter is some people entering homelessness do have a car or other type of vehicle, a camper with them, and that can be a tremendous asset for folks. And if you do have a vehicle to live in, there are some benefits as far as privacy and security and ability to store additional possessions over staying in an emergency shelter.
And because of all of those reasons Jeanette just mentioned, Casey, I would think it might be difficult, definitely not an easy task, to then entice people to maybe go into an emergency shelter. So can you talk about how your team at Catch has really figured out ways to meet people where they are?
Yeah, we meet people where they are at physically, emotionally, mentally. I think that's the first step, is just acknowledging a person's reality. And a lot of the people that we come across do suffer from significant mental illness. And that is a very significant measure if somebody's going to feel safe in a shelter or another situation. We come across a lot of people who just try to avoid people altogether because of their mental illness. So we go out on a regular basis. We're going on the green belt. We are going on referral trips. If somebody in the community is concerned about somebody who appears to be homeless, we go out and try to make contact. And then it's all about relationship building, because a lot of people who are homeless, and especially people who are averse to the shelter environment, have a lot of trauma that they're trying to, they're trying to manage.
Mm-hmm. And Jeanette, I would think as we head into the winter and it gets colder, the need to make sure this part of our community is safe ramps up for you.
Definitely. This time of year when it gets really cold, also in the summer when we experience the more extreme heat, those are times when our outreach team is on high alert to making sure that our folks are safe and that they have what they need to stay warm and to stay safe. So we do identify those safety needs first. So we're looking out for someone staying in a car or staying out on the streets. We're making sure they have warm blankets, hand warmers. And certainly we always let people know what emergency shelter options are available to them and how to access those resources so that they have that option as well.
Yeah. And Casey, let's talk a little bit more about that, because once you meet people, as we mentioned, you know, where they are, whether it's physically, emotionally, spiritually, how are you then able to make sure they get that immediate support they need if you haven't yet built that relationship?
Well, we have some resources available, you know, those warm clothes, we've got some snacks, stuff like that. So once those very basic needs are met, people really respond to kindness. I mean, that is that's unfortunately not as common as it should be in their lives. So any kind of kindness that the folks that we come across receive, they respond very well to that. And that's a big step towards helping them trust the system again, trust resources again, trust the city again, trust the people in the city again. There's just so much, you know, there's some loud voices in the room right now that are, you know, kind of directed at people experiencing homelessness in a negative light. And people feel that. The people experiencing homelessness mm-hmm. feel that vibe. So it's a matter of, you know, building trust in the city again, building trust in all of us.
I want to shift gears a little bit, and I want to talk about your Avenues for Hope campaign. Jeanette, can you first tell us what this is?
So Avenues for Hope is the Homeless Services and Housing Services Community's big fundraiser that happens in December. Catch's goal is to raise enough money to house 25 families this year, and we're all really hard at work trying to make that happen.
And 25 doesn't seem like many families. But Jeanette, put that into comparison, I guess, or into contrast to how many families you used to serve, because that number has gone up exponentially since the pandemic.
That's right. I don't know that I have those numbers at hand. I'm looking at our development director who's scratching some data down for me. But our goal is to house a lot more than 20 families, 25 families next year. It's just this particular fundraiser, our goal is to raise money for that. 500 families are homeless right now in the Treasure Valley is the data that I'm getting from Garrett. I will also tell you, what I'm getting back to car and RV reach, that over 100 of those families are either living in a car or an RV in our community right now, families with children.
And we should note, Casey, when we talk about families experiencing homelessness, I mean, there is such a domino effect, right? Because if these kiddos are living in a car or living in an RV or, you know, on the street with their parents, you know, there's the whole issue of education, right? There's a whole issue of not having enough food. I mean, and this is what you're seeing out there.
Yeah, actually, that relates pretty well to the adults that we're trying to reach right now, because the more homelessness is traumatic. Homelessness is a crisis for everybody, but especially for kids. And the more trauma that kids experience when they're in their formative years, that follows them all the way up to adulthood sometimes. So a lot of the people that we're trying to help right now had traumatic childhoods. So if we can house families, get kids off the street, get keep families together and create a safer environment for them to develop, then that will go downstream, and that will make the adults, those future adults, are less likely to be homeless in the future.
Mm-hmm. And Jeanette, before we let you go, I want to get back to the Avenues for Hope campaign, because first off, can you tell us how much money you are hoping to raise to be able to house these families, but also how can people support this effort?
Our goal is $187,500. That's our goal for December for Avenues for Help for Hope. And that will help us house those 25 families. There are other ways folks can help. One way, we just reached out to the media a week or two ago asking for warm supplies. It's that time of year. We had an outpouring of support. We're doing really well in a couple of things. Blankets and coats were pretty flush in. We still have a need for specific items like small propane bottles, hand warmers. What's the other thing that we're looking for? Oh, gas cards. Gas cards are really important to folks who are staying in cars or RVs. Gas station cards would be useful too. And then, as Casey mentioned too, we have a real need for just general community support. There's a lot of voices getting attention right now opposing homeless services solutions and what feels like opposing people experiencing homelessness in general. So we need more voices, more supportive voices for the people themselves and for the services that we're trying to put out there in the community to end homelessness in the Boise and Ada County area. So speak up when you can.
Well, I want to thank both of you for coming on the program today. And once again, you know, giving voice to, I think, a marginalized community, and also making us remember that they do need our help. All the time, but in particular as we head into the winter months. We've been talking with Jeanette Curtis, Director of Outreach Programs at CATCH, and Casey McGee, Outreach Program Specialist with that organization. Up next, Idaho is in desperate need of computer coders. How the STEM Center is working to help. More Idaho Matters next.